Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see the hearts of individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father, and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Well, hey, Alicia, thank you so much for joining us back on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Good to be here.
So we've heard from you previously about you and your husband, Seth, have been in ministry for over 10 years at this point. And really, you've been a mother almost from the very beginning of that, because you found out your first week full-time ministry that you were pregnant. And so, and now you have four children, 10 years later, new positions. What has life looked like for you really being a mother in full-time ministry? Because being a mom in its own right has its own challenges, but then you add ministry on top of that, and that adds a complete other layer of things to navigate. So what has that experience been like for you?
Well, my kids have had a very unusual life, because we have lived a very unusual life. We have an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old, two boys, two girls. And I don't regret a bit of the unconventionality of our life. I think that, first of all, I want to make a disclaimer that I don't really have time to read books on the subject of parenting and ministry, obviously. So anything good I say here is from the Lord. Anything bad I say here, just forget it. I'm still in process,
We will take it all with a grain of salt.
Please do. Please do. I love our unconventional life, because I believe we're living in a time when maybe things that mattered years ago are being put into a new light. And, you know, for instance, if I had raised my children 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, perhaps getting them to college and through college and saving up for college would be at the top of my list. And I went to college myself, and I won't discourage them from going to college. But just to be honest, that is not at the top of my list. You know, it's kind of like, I just want my kids to live lives that reflect the goodness of God. And I want them to see Jesus was with me from the very beginning, and I can give him my all, because that's what it's going to take in these days. They can't have a casual walk with Jesus. There's a whole lot of things, little and big, that I've had to learn with humility to do with my children to make it through. I'll share a couple of those things.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are a couple of those, what are a couple of those, even just the small things that people may not take into consideration, but can be vastly important?
Some of the main ones are, and I may have already mentioned this, but authenticity. My kids know that, you know, I'm a ministry leader, but I have to be the same person. I don't want them to be those kind of ministry kids who are really turned off by hypocrisy that they right. see, because ministers' kids get a front row seat. And that keeps me in check before the Lord. I have to be real, and I have to be honest with myself, with the Lord, with my husband, with my kids. And so I really make it my goal to be the same person everywhere, whether I'm in the homeschool room or in the kitchen or up front leading worship. Another thing is that doing ministry with my kids in tow, I really want them to see my moment by moment dependency on the Holy Spirit. You know, as flattering as it might seem to my ego, I don't want them to think that I'm the answer woman, that I really have it all figured out, because that's actually inauthentic. That's actually a farce. I don't have it all figured out. The things I do have figured out are that God is good, and when I need him, he comes through. And so, you know, there's countless moments in the day. I mean, even just how to tailor my homeschool methods for each kid because they're all different. I have to have the Holy Spirit's help. Lord, I need your creativity to know how to educate this kid differently than I did my last kid. So in the big and the little things, I want them to see me as a woman led by the Holy Spirit, not as a woman who's got it all together. I don't want to be a model of Christian culture or perfection. I want to be a model of someone who depends on the Lord and someone who takes great risks in faith, and the Lord comes through and writes an amazing story because I'm willing to lay down things and willing to take a step and willing to lean into him in the moment and willing to do what he asked me to do. Another thing is that I don't want my spirituality, I don't want my walk with God to be hidden from them. Whether it's ups or downs, it's mostly ups. It really is. And the joy of walking with him, I really want to live it. I want to show it. I want to be authentic. And when in those little moments I'm provoked and some realization of some, just in a moment of something God has done, you know, necessitates that I give back an offering, whether it be a hallelujah or I just break into song, you know, I want them, I don't want to hide it from them. I want them to see, yeah, I know we're just walking down the road right now, or yeah, I know we're just driving to the grocery store, but God's with us. God's with me. And I can taste of his goodness right now. So much so that I am provoked to give something to him, you know, whether it be like, hey, kids, you know, it just came to me. This is just something that came to me. Isn't God amazing? You know, or it's a song and I'll start singing it and they'll join in. You know, we have little songs that we like to sing. But I really try to live it, especially in front of my children. I try to live my spiritual walk in a way that they see it and that they can join in, and that, you know, whether it's in prayer, if there's a prayer that often happens where it's just like, oh, my heart's breaking for some situation, you know, I speak it out so that they can be a part. They're able to vicariously experience some of that joy that I get to have in walking with Jesus, and I want that to splash on them, and the pleasure of walking with God through the moments of the day. They get the benefit of being splashed, and yeah.
Well, what would you say is one of your favorite memories so far of being able to walking this out with your kids and seeing the fruit of that in their own lives, where they have, it's not that they're imitating you in a way to imitate you to be like mom, but because they have seen the way you live your life, you have seen their relationship with the Lord blossom because of that.
That's a great question. I have seen some of the things I've modeled start to take root and bear fruit in them. They don't jump into, you know, worship dance just impromptu, yeah, quite yet. But they are all quick to sing. Sometimes, you know, they'll be free enough in worship. They'll close their eyes. They'll lift their hands. They will sometimes express their heart in a way that's even more precious, is when, you know, we're at bedtime and one of them will just say, I have to pray. Can I pray? You know, or, you know, and what comes out of them is just real from the heart. You know, it's some of the greatest moments, and there's not one particular time I can think of, but it's, you know, it happens. It happens that a real expression comes from them. And it might be song, it might be a testimony, it might be, this was a thought I had, or I want to pray for somebody, you know? And so they do that. I will say that a major key in my parenting, ministry aside, major critical element, cultivating the ability to seek forgiveness from them quickly. And I would say, you were asking, you know, where have I seen the fruit and what are some favorite memories, you know, seeing in them the ability to come to me and ask for forgiveness, unprompted, you know, it wasn't fake. It was something from their heart. The Holy Spirit convicted them, you know, but I feel like, you know, their dad and I have really, that's something in parenting I couldn't be doing without. I had to do it this morning. I had to go to one of my kids and say, I'm so sorry. In my impatience, I was ugly. Will you forgive me? And they forgave me quickly, you know, and they said, I love you. And that really, I mean, just about daily, we have to seek forgiveness. I'm so sorry. I did that imperfectly, or I was too rough with you. Will you forgive me? I actually had to do it last night too. So maybe it is daily. But honestly, seeing them be able to do that with me and with each other.
Yeah.
Actually be able to go to their siblings, you know. Right now, I would say, you know, I've seen fruit recently that when they're having a little battle between themselves, I won't try and go and dice out, well, okay, well, who did what first and what was your response and who said what and blah, blah, blah. I'll just be like, okay, guys, you know what to do. You know, who's going to take the low road first? You know, and they're catching on. They're beginning to see, when you stop and put it that way, yeah, I know exactly what I need to do. I need to apologize. I need to repent. And I need to forgive, you know. And so we help them through those steps. There has to be, will you forgive me for, you know? And then there has to be a, yes, I will forgive you, you know. We won't let them leave that place until they have released forgiveness. And they are doing that on their own.
That's awesome. For you personally, as a mother in ministry, what have you had to do? Because so oftentimes ministry can be all-consuming in some of the best ways, and then sometimes in the ways where it has just taken over and we've kind of lost sight of some of the other important family things. What are maybe some boundaries that you would share with others to say, as a parent, as a mom in ministry, these are some key areas to watch out for and make sure that you keep as a priority with your children?
Yeah. Well, when I look at my kids, I don't focus my attention on their behaviors. I notice their behaviors, but I try with the help of the Lord to see through their behaviors to what's at the heart. And when I can keep a pulse through the help of the Holy Spirit on where their heart's at, then that's how I get through. That's how we don't fall apart as a family amidst the busyness. I have to see their hearts. And there are times when we will have to steal away with one kid or two kids, or, you know, we will have to take a break as a family saying, we are doing something special today as a family to make sure that hearts are intact, to make sure that connection has not been broken. There are days where I get to the end of the day, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even see this one of my kids today. You know, I might've seen them in the dining room, but maybe they were sitting at, those days are not commonplace, but they do happen where it's kind of like, I didn't see my kid today, you know? But the Holy Spirit helps me discern where they're at, and they may be making it through just fine that day because their heart's in an okay place and in a healthy place. And that heart connection, you know, it's less is more sometimes when we get to the end of the day and I go sit on the edge of their bed and I just connect and I say, how are you? Are you okay? Is there, you know, if there's anything that the Holy Spirit showed me, we talk about it. But I give them the opportunity to share their heart, you know, whether it's, you know, it could be, I missed you today, or it could be, oh, it was a great day. Really keeping a pulse on where their heart's at and seeing through the outward, seeing to the heart. You know, everyone, one thing in parenting is, you know, you get so accustomed to your kids going through phases, you know, like so-and-so kid is just going to need me a little more these days. They're going through something, you know, that's very predictable. There's always going to be things like that, but staying tuned in to the heart of the matter, I would say for sure. And yeah. Yeah.
What's some encouragement that you might have for any moms out there? They might be newer moms. They might be new to being a mom in ministry, maybe, where like actual, like serving in full-time ministry is something new for them as well as being a mom, where oftentimes I know that there can be this struggle. And I can't say that I know this personally because I don't have any children, but I've heard from other conversation with other moms. And growing up, my mother was in full-time ministry at different points in my life, and how there can end up feeling like almost this guilt of you not giving enough of yourself in one area or another, whether it's to your children or to the ministry that you feel called to. How do you balance that? How do you navigate that? And what would you encourage somebody with that might be listening today that feels like they're in that spot of, I'm not giving enough of myself, and not feeling like they're giving enough to either?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That really hits home, because there are days where I feel that exactly that. Like I'm dropping the balls. I can't hold this many. And so I'm still on my journey of discovery in that, for sure. Pretty new to this full 24/7 time ministry life.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that obviously you have to create your boundaries. You know, my kids don't sleep with us, you know. Once they go to bed, they're in bed. My husband and I have to have those times. So creating those kinds of boundaries, creating a rhythm in a place like this, you know, it might take a little longer to find your personal family rhythm when you're coexisting and cohabitating with other families and singles and everyone in the mix. But we have found the things we need to do that are going to be life-giving, you know. Whether it's a Saturday morning brunch together that we take by ourselves, or whether it's our, you know, rhythm at the end of the day for the hour before bedtime, creating the rhythms and creating a sense of tradition, family, cohesion. This is what you can count on. We may be busy Thursday and Friday, but come Saturday, you know, we are setting out this big chunk of time for this special thing with you. And I would say that it's okay for our kids to not be the center of our world. They are my greatest treasures on earth and my greatest responsibility on earth. And they're not mine. I don't possess them. I steward them in the fear of the Lord. And so if they're reassured of my love, and they're reassured of my love for my husband, that their love comes out of, that their lives come out of, you know, then if they're reassured in that, in their place, in our family, then it's okay for them to see we share our lives with others. We include others at our table. We include others at our family Christmases if we need to, because there's many who don't have a family like we have. And, you know, we've heard it said, no man is on an island. I would also propose that no family is an island. Our families have to be interconnected. We're a part of a bigger thing. And my kids' lives are enriched if I maintain that heart connection, and if I maintain the foundation of love that they have to have in our family, then it's really a joy to share that love with other people and include others. And yeah, so that's, I guess that answers the question maybe.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's, I mean, I know what it can be like to, you have to find your rhythm. I think that you said it well, in that your kids get to see and grow up learning what it is like to share your family, knowing that the times that you aren't around or you can't be there for them directly aren't because you don't care, but it's because they see what your family is called to. And knowing that in that moment, the temporary no to them means that there's a greater yes to your calling. I think it's such a great example for them to see and to grow up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, you know, they need to know that the kingdom is what I have vision for. I don't just have a vision for our family and our home living a certain, you know, lovely life. I have vision for the kingdom, and how our family plays into that and our part in it is what gives me my, you know, so much excitement and expectation. But that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this, is because we are going to seek first his kingdom, but we're going to do it as a family, you know, and they know those little no's, those little sacrifices have to be made. They're getting better at making them, you know, but the great joys that we get in reward are absolutely beautiful.
Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your heart on this today. I know that there are many mothers out there that are in similar situations, but they don't have to be a mom in ministry for these things to apply. They get to walk out the ministry of life every single day with their kids and learning to know when to make those priorities and let your children know those things is such a key part of being a mom and growing and being a part of a family of believers.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, AJ.
Thanks for being on the show today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International. It is produced by AJ Selby, Rebecca Wall, and Seth Stradling. It is edited, mixed, and mastered by AJ Selby.